السلام عليكم. بسم الله. We will now begin with the translation of the word-to-word meaning. We will be using the Quran translation by Al-Huda International, the English translation. This is often referred to as the Blue Book or the Blue Pages. It is easily available online. Today we are going to cover A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem, Bismillahir Rahmanir Raheem, and we will begin Surah Al-Fatiha. Bismillah, with the name of Allah, Ar-Rahman, the Most Merciful, Ar-Raheem, the Always All-Merciful, Alhamdu, the All, Al-Bin, or All, Hamdu, praise or thanks, Lillahi, is for Allah, Rabbi, Rabb, or Sustainer, Al-Alamin, of the worlds, of the universes, or all creatures, Ar-Rahman, the Most Merciful, Ar-Rahim, the Always Merciful, Maliki, Master, Owner, Yawmi, of the day, Ad-Din, the recompense of the recompense or judgment, Iyyaka, you only. Only you, Iyya, only Ka, you. Na'budu, we worship, obey, or serve, wa, and Iyyaka, only you. Nasta'een, na, we, Nasta'een, we seek or ask for help. Ihdina, you guide. As-sirata, the path or way. Al-mustaqeem, the one straight. Sirata, path or way. Al-Ladina, of those who. An'amta, you have blessed or you have favored. Alayhim, upon him, them. Ghayri, other than. Al-Maghdubi, those who earned your anger, wrath. Alayhim, alay, upon him, them. Wa, la, and not. Ad-dallin, those who are misguided, gone astray. Going over the translation again. In the name of Allah, the compassionate, the merciful, all praise is for Allah, the Rabb of all the worlds. The Rabb, the Master, the Ruler, the Sustainer of all the worlds, the Compassionate, the Merciful, Master of the Day of Judgment. O Allah, you alone we worship, and you alone we call for help. O Allah, guide us to the right way, the way of those whom you have favored, not of those who have earned your wrath, nor of those who have lost the way. Amen. Now, insha'Allah, we will start with a few translations. First of all, we are going to cover A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem, which is also known as Da'awwudh. And we are also going to look at Bismillahir Rahmanir Raheem, known as the Basmala. Why are we looking at these two statements first, before we start the tafsir of the actual of Surah Al-Fatiha? Because before the Qur'an, before our tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha, we should know that every time we open the Qur'an and start reading, it is mandatory upon us to read these two statements. Why? Regarding Da'awwudh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an, فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Right? So, this is an order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that whenever we begin the recitation of Qur'an, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for isti'adha, for protection. We won't start without A'udhu Billah. it is incumbent that we always read it. Today, we are going to look at our Uzubillah. So what does this mean? And why is it important? It means I seek the protection, especially if there is an evil in the world, whether there is, it is relating to the dunya or the akhirah. We have to seek protection from it. Expressing da'awud is an enormous manifestation of tawheed, okay, of monotheism. How? How is saying a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim declaring the oneness of Allah? What we are saying is, Ya Allah, I ask you to let me come into your protection. Who are we asking protection from and why? When we do seek refuge, who do we turn to? When we are in trouble, who do we seek refuge in? Someone powerful, right? And what do we say to that powerful one? We say, Ya Allah, I'm helpless. I cannot protect myself. Ya Allah, you are strong and powerful. And this is why I seek protection from you, Ya Allah. So we seek protection from only you, Ya Allah. So this is a form of worship, declaring that Allah is the powerful, the strong, the helper, is making a huge declaration through uttering these words, A'udhu Billah. We are saying the words that declare Tawheed. So this concept of seeking protection has four components, and we should write these down in our notes. Firstly, there is the one who seeks protection. Who is that? That is either me or you, any human who calls out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, we have the kalima and isti'adha, the words that we are using to seek protection. So precisely what are the words here? A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. The third is musta'iz bihi, meaning who is the one we are asking help and protection from? Who are we calling out to? Allah. The last is musta'ad minhu, the thing that you are seeking protection from. What do we want to escape or seek help against? In our context with the Qur'an, what evil are we seeking protection from? When we're starting to read Qur'an, we are seeking protection from shaitan with Allah. So we are the ones. What are we doing? Seeking protection from what? Shaytan, with who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Qayyim gives an example of a child. A child became afraid of some evil. He was weak. He's running. He's afraid of oppression, murder. Something is after him. And he's running and running to save himself. Then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, his father appears. How does he feel when he sees this father? How at peace and how safe and how protected does this child feel? And how does he run and hug and grasp onto this father? And the father takes the child into his arms. And how safe and protected is this feeling? Now, what is he thinking? My father is here. I'm saved. Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah, says, this is a human example. We can't give human examples. We can't even compare to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Lord of the entire universe. But we can get a sense, a picture that shows us what is happening here. How safe should we feel? The most powerful one has protected me. Nothing can hurt me now. There is a hadith that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us about the mu'min, that the mu'min tires out shaitan in the same way that you tire out your animals for riding. What does that mean? Ibn Qayyim here says that this is the situation of humans when the mu'min tires out shaitan by constantly doing dhikr, constantly remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says that this is like a whip, right? Ibn Qayyim says this is like a whip. Dhikr is like a whip. So imagine if someone is doing this day in and day out, day and night, how much is the shaitan worn out? So this is what happens when we say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. He's being whipped, he's being rajim. Okay, so the more we keep Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's zikr on our tongues, That is how much we will be saved from Shaitan's attacks. When a person makes dhikr of Allah, Shaitan goes away. He goes far away. And when he sees that this person has forgotten the remembrance of Allah, he comes back and starts again. So the first thing is, A'udhu billahi min shaitanir rajim. Our beloved Ustaza teaches us another dua. A'udhu billahi sami'il alim min shaitanir rajim. Now what does rajim mean? It takes its root from the word rajim, to hit with stones. Okay? So shaitan has been cursed and he's been rejected and thrown away. Okay? The scholars say that da'wah before reading Qur'an is like making wudu for salah. We are always talking about so many things and who knows what we have said before coming to the Qur'an. So we need to clean out our tongues before starting Qur'an. And this is what A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajim does. Another thing to remember for all of us is shaitan wants us to be far away from Qur'an. He knows that a person close to Qur'an is close to success, close to victory, and the closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning he is close to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is a risk for shaitan with this person that they might enter Jannah, and this is not acceptable for him. And so often we fall for it, don't we? We forget. We forget, we become neglectful. So this is really important. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Da'wah is really important. Now the next part that we will cover is Bismillah. Now the harf, or the letter, the word B, has so many meanings. Okay? Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is said before almost every surah. You will find it in the Quran, in every mushaf, before every surah. Why do we read this? Okay, before almost every surah, we'll cover this in a minute. Why do we read this? Because the first verses revealed of Quran were اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. Read with the name of Allah, the one who created. بِإِسْمِ Right? اقرأ بِإِسْمِ What does this mean? Okay, بِإِسْمِ is made up of two parts. B with an ism name. Okay? So B really is translated as with. It has so many beautiful meanings that will only be covered today. Our beloved Ustaza says this is the only lesson that we will cover. So now you have to note it down and you have to know it. Okay, so then after that we'll just continue with the tafsir, we'll just keep going. Our Ustaza would like you to keep a diary and take notes from all of the lessons, and that is our homework for this week. And the second part of the homework that our Ustaza has given us is to share this knowledge with someone else. Because when we have to teach it, we pay more attention. Okay? So Bismi. Bismi is made up of B, with, and ism. Ism is something most of us know. Ism means name. What is your name? Okay? Name. Ism. And when we put the two together, they merge. So the word becomes Bismi. With the name, Bismillah. With the name of Allah. Right, Bismi, Allah, Bismillah. Now what? Okay, now what? What happens after this? With the name of Allah, okay, we say Bismillah, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. What happens here? With the name of Allah, what? Bismillah. Something is missing, right? We have additional, we have Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, but there's nothing, no verb here. Okay, for a sentence, generally we have a verb, don't we? A fi'l. There's no fi'l here, there's no verb here, there's nothing. Something is missing. Why is it missing? It is missing deliberately to indicate everything. Whatever I'm about to do, whatever I'm about to engage in, Bismillah, with the name of Allah, and it continues in its in that silence. Whatever I am beginning or doing, that's what it means. Right? Nothing specific is mentioned here because it includes whatever I'm about to be doing or whatever I'm doing right now. Okay? There are three other meanings. Okay? Another one comes from, so the first one comes from Musahiba, and this comes from the root word of, like, this also, Sahaba comes from this, meaning together, being, okay? It means with, so another way to understand be is like to say, with your name, Allah, I am. Okay? I am doing what I'm doing. So with your name, Allah, I'm doing what I'm doing, meaning like, it's very difficult to explain. So with your thought, Ya Allah, I'm thinking of you right now. Your memory is with me. That's a good way to understand. Your memory is with me. Your thoughts are with me, Ya Allah. I'm thinking of you right now, Ya Allah. We need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's support. And with Allah by our side, we can do whatever we're doing with so many blessings. Okay? By Allah, Ya Allah, I want you by my side. This is what the call is. This is what we're calling out. Okay? Now, another, the second thing is, Isti'ana. So, when we say, Iyaka nasta'in, we are saying, oh Allah, with your help, right? This is the concept of asking for help. To join with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help. To cry out for his help. A third reason, the third thing that we say be, Bismillah, is for barakah. We always want blessing in all the things that we do, right? So when we say Bismillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're asking for the barakah of your name. Okay, this is also what the B is for. The barakah is khayr. And we need khayr with every single thing that we do. Okay, and another meaning of having the B here is for qubool, for acceptance. So it's not just ritualistic. Bismillah is a big thing for us as Muslims. B is saying, Ya Allah, with your acceptance, Ya Allah. Whatever I'm doing right now, I'm asking for your acceptance, for your barakah, for your acceptance. You are, so while we are cleaning, while we are cooking, while we are, if we're older, we're working, and we're mothers, we're working for our family, or we're providing a service for our family. If we are students, whoever we are, wherever we are, whatever we are doing, and we use the name of Allah, we're saying, Ya Allah, accept me, accept whatever I'm doing right now. Okay, moving on now. When should we say Bismillah? Before reading Qur'an, this is what we're doing now. Also, Nuh alayhi salam, before embarking his ship, he said Bismillah. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam said Bismillah when mounting for travel. So we should also do this when traveling. Before writing a letter, Sulaiman alayhi salam, when he wrote a letter, he said Bismillah. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam also used to make the dua for shifa. Okay? Bismillahi arqi min kulli shayin yu'dhi. Leaving the house and entering the house. The dua is Bismillahi tawakkaltu. Bismillahi tawakkaltu ala Allahi wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Then no shaytan can attack the person. When they leave the house, shaytan says, I can't attack this person. When a person enters their home, they should also say Bismillah. Otherwise, shaytan enters along with this person. And he says, I have found a place to stay. And when we eat, we should also start with Bismillah. Otherwise, shaytan joins in the eating. And if someone forgets to say Bismillah in the beginning of the meal, then they should say Bismillah في أولي والآخره. When a person makes wudu, they shouldn't make it without wudu. Okay, saying Bismillah is important because this is also found in a hadith. When a person shuts the door, they should say Bismillah. When we shut the lights, at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, obviously they used to blow out candles, but for us, it's shutting the light. When we cover a plate of food in the evening, when we cover all of our food and water items, so at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, they used to cover leather bags, so to seal the leather bags, and they used to say Bismillah. Today we may have water bottles or jugs with lids. Before a husband and a wife come close, there is a dua to read as well as Bismillah, that includes Bismillah, so shaitan doesn't get involved in that act, and also that any child that is blessed isn't affected by shaitan. When it's born, it will not be affected by shaitan. Bismillah, Allahumma jannibna shaitana wa jannibna shaitana ma razaqtana. There's another hadith from, I forgot to write down the narrator of this hadith, I apologize. I believe it's Omar bin Abi Salama. I apologize, I forgot to write down the narrator of the hadith. I was a boy under the care of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger, and my hand used to go around the dish while I was eating. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me, "O boy, mention the name and eat with your right hand, and eat of the dish that is nearer to you." Since then I have applied those instructions when eating. Okay. Shaitan makes food halal on himself, except the food upon which Bismillah has been mentioned. Okay? So Shaitan makes the food, any food that has not had the Bismillah recited on it, he will eat that, but not the food that has Bismillah on it, that has Bismillah recited upon it. Uthman bin Abu al-As came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, "My body hurts." So he's complaining of pain. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed him to say Bismillah 3 times and then 7 times, "A'udhu bi izzatillahi wa qudratihi min sharri ma ajidu wa uhadhir." And you will find this in many du'a books. Fortress of a Muslim is an authentic du'a book, so you can have a look at it in there. When an animal is slaughtered, we should say Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, while cutting it with the knife. At night before sleeping, we should say Bismillah. When someone is lowered into the grave, Bismillah wa ala millati Rasulillah. There is another du'a that we read in the morning and evening adhkar. Bismillah alladhi la yadurru ma'a ismihi shay'un fil ardi wa la fis sama'i wa huwa as-sami'ul 'alim. It's a very powerful du'a because it uses the name of Allah. In the same way, ta'awwudh is also part of our life. Bismillah should also be part of our life. Okay, continuing on with Bismi and Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this 3,500 times in the Quran, Bismillah. Okay, it is the most mentioned so many times. Okay, so one of the meanings of Bismillah is also that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one I'm going to skip this, otherwise this is just going to go too long. We're going to move on to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name now. Okay, the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the name Allah? Sorry, the name Allah, not Bismillah. Sorry, I got confused. The name Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been mentioned 3,500 times. Could you please correct that in your notes, inshallah? It is the most mentioned name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name Allah, the linguistic meaning, takes from the one who gives. Okay, this is one meaning. There's several meanings and we're going to go through them. Another meaning is the one who amazes or awes or overwhelms with amazement or astonishment. Yeah, Allah is the one who Allah astonishes. All the world's intelligent people, no matter how many and no matter how much they learn about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will become astonished, amazed, awed and overwhelmed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's creations overwhelm us and amaze us. All of his wisdoms and systems that he has placed in the world amaze us. So what about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It leaves the intellect amazed. Look at the universe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made. Just amazing, astonishing, overwhelming. The one Allah's name also means the one who gives peace. Because it comes from the root Aliha Yalihu. Okay, the peace of the heart is from him. He will give anyone sakinah that he chooses, as much as he chooses, and no one else can give that sakinah. When we look at the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was thrown into the fire, but he was at peace. And yet we have millionaires and world leaders and all sorts of kings and social media personalities that are miserable, no peace, stress. SubhanAllah, we can't buy sakina. We can't buy peace. No one can give it to us. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give that to us. It also means the one who gives refuge. It also means the mahbub, the one with whom intense love is made possible. This means intense love, intense connection. The way we can understand it is like a mother who loses their child. I don't like to use the word like, but because our Ustazah constantly tells us, we do not make human comparisons to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I want you to imagine a mother who loses a child and the madness she enters as a result. This mother is also called the Wallah. Okay, so this is a derivation from that word. It's indicative of the love that drives to madness. This woman is called the Wallah. She's gone crazy out of the love of her child and the loss of that child. The relationship that the mother has with this child, the strength of that separation, the grief, that love, that yearning, that has all been derived from this word. This is why the scholars say Allah is the one who is worthy of love. Okay? And see, the people who do not have Allah's love, observe them in your life. Observe them in your life. Watch them sometimes, just watch. You will see that many of them are driven to this type of loss when they don't have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their life. And there's this type of madness as well. Also, He is the one, Allah, that people run back from fear, from enemies to Him. Another meaning is His high aboveness, okay, the greatness high above. So the one who has faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises that person high above too. And Allah Himself is, of course, above and greater than everything. The last meaning is that the meaning that all of the scholars have united upon, they are agreed upon this, that the meaning of Allah, the most important meaning, is derived from the word Aliha Yalahu, the one who is worshipped. It comes from the root word Al-Ilah. He is the one and the only one that is worthy of worship. Have we got any proof for this? Every perfect attribute is only for Allah. It's only in Allah. We know that there are 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and these are His attributes. They are the greatest attributes, and we should all know them, and we should know al-Asma al-Husna. If you want to search this word, Asma al-Husna, the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will easily find them. They are really amazing and the greatest attributes that anyone can possess, and they are only present in Allah, and all of them are present in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unfortunately, many people don't know the names and the attributes of Allah. Most people have just memorized La ilaha illallah and that's it, they've moved on. But this is the reason for the doubts, the confusions, the misconceptions, the weakness in iman, the fitna that we see in the world. If we know how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described Himself, then we won't have any of these issues. Okay? If we bring anything else that is worshipped or turned towards, and we test that rock, that stone, that idol, that tree, whatever it is, and we test them with these 99 names, then none of these names match up to hardly any of the attributes, let alone all of them. But Allah has all of these. Okay? In our Sharia, again, we don't compare Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to humans, but to understand the concept, suppose there is a boy, his name is Zayd. Okay? Zayd is strong. Zayd is caring. Zayd is brave. What is the original name? Zayd. In this way, we need to know that the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Allah. Does that make sense? Okay? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah is Ar-Rahman. Allah is Ar-Rahim. We don't go the opposite way, do we? Where we might say Allah is strong, or Allah is Ghafoor, Al-Ghafoor is Allah. No, the forgiving one is Allah. No, it doesn't make sense. Okay, we say Allah is Al-Ghafoor. Okay, I hope that's clear. Okay, so Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. These are the true attributes of all the attributes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has that He has chosen for Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay, He used these true attributes. He did not use any other attributes. There are 114 surahs in the Quran, and Bismillah has been mentioned 114 times. Surah At-Tawbah doesn't start with Bismillah, but in Surah An-Naml it appears again. So that's a total of 114. If we have to read these words 114 times, doesn't that tell us that it is very important? Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim is so profound. There is so much emphasis in these words. We're not going to go into detail in terms of grammar and linguistics here, but the words Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim contain in them a lot of emphasis, the way they're structured. Okay? They're used for extreme levels of whatever it is that we're talking about. They are derived from the word Rahim. Yeah, Rahma means mercy, kindness, to benefit someone, to do a favor mercifully to somebody. They are both derived from the same root, but in one is Ar-Rahman, the one who is extremely merciful. And the scholars say Ar-Rahman is such a great name that Ar-Rahman is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after the name Allah. So the second name, the second one that we use. Okay? Because Allah, Allah wad Ar-Rahman, whether you say Allah or Ar-Rahman, it's the same. This is why we can't name any of our children Ar-Rahman or Rahman. We can name a child Abdul Rahman, the slave of Rahman, but not Rahman. It's not right. And we cannot reduce somebody's name. So if there's a brother called Abdul Rahman, we can't nickname him Rahman. Okay? This is the name Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves for himself. There is a hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves two names of people, and that is Abdullah and Abdul Rahman. So we can have these names. Okay? To teach us about Ar-Rahman, the concept of Ar-Rahman, and all about Ar-Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed Surah Ar-Rahman, and it's a beautiful surah. It's a beautiful surah that this name of Allah has been given an entire surah on its own. If you read the surah, it contains nothing else but the explanation of Ar-Rahman. It's really beautiful. And in the Quran, we will find many surahs, and their names appear as couples or as twins. But the name Ar-Rahman, as a surah, it hasn't been paired. Okay? Even though the attribute is present here in Bismillah, like Allah said Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, but there's no surah Ar-Rahim. Okay? There hasn't been a pair for it. Okay, so moving on to Ar-Rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah is Ar-Rahim, so the one who is really merciful. Okay? There's a lot of emphasis here, an extremity of mercy. So what is the difference between these two words? We have Ar-Rahman and we have Ar-Rahim. So what is the difference? Abdullah ibn Mubarak says, Ar-Rahman is the one that whenever someone comes asking for something, he gives it. This is so beautiful. Ar-Rahman is the one that whenever someone comes to him for something, he gives it. And Ar-Rahim is the one that if no one asks him, he becomes upset. SubhanAllah. We don't compare, but it's to understand, it's like there's a teacher, and he's watching this student roam around looking for help here and looking for help there, but they're being rejected and they're struggling and they can't do it, and they won't come to their teacher who cares for them. You know, the teacher's going to get upset. And like a mother who has a child, and the child's seeking help from here and going to this person and that person and struggling, but they're not coming to the mother for help. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is incomparable to humans. He is so, so, so merciful, and He doesn't like it that we roam around in need of help, asking here, looking there, doing this, doing that. If we ask Him, He will give. So we should ask Him. Okay, Allah is not like people. In this life, if we ask some person two or three times, they get annoyed, they get irritated, they get upset. But Allah gets upset if we don't ask Him. So we should not hesitate to ask Him. Just ask. Some people think that, oh, it's a small thing, you know, it's just a small thing. Why should I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He showed Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba that we this concept is embedded within them that we can't do anything by ourselves. We cannot do anything at all. Do you know the hadith about the sandal strap? It's a beautiful hadith about the fault and the sandal strap. It's a hadith in Tirmidhi. And it shows that even if the Sahaba ran out of salt, they used to ask for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the hadith is, let one of you ask his Lord for his every need, until he asks him for salt, and asks him for the strap of his sandal when it breaks. Subhanallah. We make the effort, of course. You know, we're going to take the seven. We're going to go somewhere and get something, whatever we need, and exert our energy to access the resources. But we are going to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so Ar-Rahman, the meaning of Ar-Rahman, it gives this meaning of extensive. Okay, it's really extensive, and that His mercy is spread across all of His creation. So much so that Allah's mercy, it's the reason why you see anybody loving each other in this world. If you see a mother loving their child, if you see two friends or two neighbors, whoever it is, everything that we see is because of this one thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us. It's a hadith, and it is a beautiful hadith. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reported, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has divided mercy into 100 parts, and He retained with Him 99 parts. And sent down to earth one part. Through this one part, creatures deal with one another with compassion, so much so that an animal lifts its hooves over its young, lest it should hurt it. Subhanallah. All the love that we see all around the world, from the beginning of time, from the Prophet Adam alayhi salam until now, until the Day of Judgment, that is just one part of 99 parts of mercy. Subhanallah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that upon the arsh of Allah there's a statement. Okay? And that is also by, the hadith is also by Abu Hurairah. And he said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when Allah decreed the creation, when He made all of us, He pledged Himself by writing in His book, which is laid down with Him, My mercy prevails over My wrath. Subhanallah. And this is in Muslim, it's in Bukhari, Nasi, Ibn Majah, Hadith, Bukhari, Hadith, Qudsi. It's like, it's a hadith, we can't, it's the most, subhanallah, this it should just give us, should have give us so much hope. Subhanallah. Inna rahmati taghlibu ghadabi. Subhanallah, it makes you so emotional, doesn't it? Gives you so much hope. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this rule for Himself. He made it upon Himself. Nothing can dictate or rule Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this rule for Himself. In Surah Al-An'am, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَتَبَ عَلَى نَفْسِ رَحْمَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written down mercy for Himself as compulsory. Subhanallah. There's so much hope. None of us should lose hope after we know this. Allah doesn't like it if someone gets hopeless at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. Okay, but, excuse me, this doesn't mean, astaghfirullah, this doesn't mean then, astaghfirullah, that we get obnoxious. Okay, people need to humble themselves. We need to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask for His mercy. Okay, we need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rahman. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and remember that nothing else can be Ar-Rahman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Rahmah is not reserved for any special person, or any race, or any nationality, or any family. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Rahmah extends to everybody. We restrict our kindnesses. We withhold our kindnesses to our own people, our own races, sometimes our own nationalities, our own family maybe. Not with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His mercy is for everyone. Even disbelievers get Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. Even the idolater, right? Even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this person is swearing at me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Ibn Adam swears at Allah. It's like swearing at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you say that Allah has a son. But still, I've lost a panel at Diana, still feeding, still caring, still protecting these people. And there are so many angels protecting us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. The protection is part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's designated mercy for us. Otherwise, jinns and shayateen, they are the ones that would have destroyed and ruined humans. But because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by His will and by His power, has kept guardian angels for us, angels to protect the eyes, angels to protect the body, unless, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written down as destiny for this person, then the person will get hurt. But otherwise, angels are constantly protecting us. What a beautiful concept. Shaitan, too, has also been given time and space until the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, let him go. Nothing's happening to him. Right? He's got, he can do what he likes until the day of judgment. This is part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. Okay, and if disbelieving people, subhanAllah, there's a statement, I forgot to reference it. If the disbelieving people could grasp and understand the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they would not lose hope in Jannah, subhanAllah. So even a disbeliever would think that, you know, if they knew the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they would even hope for Jannah, subhanAllah. Right? So Ar-Rahman, let's recapping this. Ar-Rahman, the word Rahman is extensive. And Ar-Rahim is intense. Okay? The ulama, the scholars, say that Ar-Rahman is in the dunya, where everyone is entitled to his mercy. But where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Rahim? In the akhirah. Okay? Truly in the akhirah, because over there only mu'mineen will be granted mercy. In Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. For those of you who might be wondering when we're ending, this course goes from for another maybe 20 minutes, inshallah, we will end. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept all of this in His two attributes, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is really merciful, and our human intellect, our humanness cannot estimate it. We cannot grasp it. We cannot understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. Okay, often we look at really horrible criminals and we cry out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, why? Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why don't you grab him? Why don't you deal with him? But it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy that He keeps giving people chances over and over and over so that maybe this person will come back. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah is more merciful than a mother to their child. Right? Yet, we still have that 99 parts of mercy that is still with Allah. Just because the one part in this is in this dunya, in this world, doesn't mean that, you know, those 99 parts will be there with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. Subhanallah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah is arhamur rahimin. Okay, there is a story, a beautiful story, subhanallah, that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam shares with us so we can understand the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was the time of war, okay, and the prisoners were basically running. Okay, she was a prisoner of war and she'd lost her child. Imagine the scene, there's a mother, it's war, she's running, a little child is lost, and, you know, we know the feeling whenever you think of someone who's lost a child or their child has become kidnapped. These mothers are in such a state, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of us. But our Sada here makes a beautiful dua for protection from this, and I repeat it and I say Ameen, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of us from this and from everything, because these mothers are like neither living nor dead, subhanAllah, the suffering. So she's running, this mother, and she's searching for a little nursling. It's a small, very small child. And she finally finds the child, she pulls it towards her chest and begins to breastfeed. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the Sahaba, you know, do you think this mother, you know, will throw the child in the fire? SubhanAllah, Allah is more merciful than that. Right? SubhanAllah, Allah doesn't want you to do that. Allah is so merciful. So we need to turn back to Allah. We need to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sorry, this is the last one I'm going to do, and then we will start Surah Al-Fatiha, inshallah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard someone saying, Ya Arhamur Rahimeen. Arhamur Rahimeen means someone who is the most merciful. The one who is the most merciful, Arham, or Rahimeen, amongst the merciful ones. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard someone saying this. And then he told that person, the Sahaba, radiallahu anha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala designates an angel for these people. Right? Whoever says this, Ya Arhamur Rahimeen, three times, the angel says as good news to that person, the one who is most merciful has turned his attention to you. So ask what you want. Subhanallah, Subhanallah. If we understand the sweetness of these names and the sweetness of these concepts, that we will build love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us this love. It's one of the greatest treasures of this world, that someone would have been given the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their heart. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep this when the angels come at the time of our deaths, and they open up our hearts, our status. Imagine this scene when the angels open up the hearts, and they see this heart full of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love. Subhanallah, may Allah give us this treasure too. So this is the homework for this week, that we learn about Bismillah and a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, with consciousness, with mindfulness, with a deep sense of love. And it is, she says, this is the most evident fact that the greatest thing that we have been given of Allah's mercy is the Quran itself, isn't it? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said this in Surah Al-Rahman, Ar-Rahman, Allama Al-Qur'an. So we are all here to gather this mercy. Subhanallah, you have prepared yourself to acquire this mercy. And what a huge blessing it is. What a huge gift this is to be here together. Subhanallah, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even created humans, He created the Qur'an, the mercy for humans. Subhanallah. Okay, so now we will go on to Surah Al-Fatiha. Our beloved Ustaza asks us to deeply understand this surah, to understand every word in this particular surah, because it is the crux of the message. There is so much depth in this surah. Aside from the depth we learn, if we really make an effort for Surah Al-Fatiha, just for Surah Al-Fatiha, then the rest of the Qur'an will be made easy for us to understand. First of all, the word we see is a beautiful word that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen to begin the Qur'an with. For the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Alhamdulillah. There must be something so beautiful and so special about this particular word that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen this to start the Qur'an, isn't it? So let's look at the word Alhamdu. What is Alhamd? We have found the meaning to be defined as praise and thanks in our blue book. Okay? However, the true meaning is a lot deeper, and we are going to go, I think for the rest of maybe this lesson, it's just going to be Alhamdulillah, because it's just so deep. Alhamd doesn't just mean praise. Alhamd includes praise as well as thanks. Hamd includes praise and thanks together simultaneously. But even the meaning of hamd is so much deeper than these two words together, right? And it requires a depth of understanding. When we say ashukrulillah, right? Shukr is to give thanks to someone that you benefit from. Okay? In response to the beneficial goodness, thanks is given in return. That's shukr, okay? But the second meaning is also praise. So praise is something that is given out a lot in this world. You'll find it. You'll find it everywhere. Some praise is genuine, some praise, firstly, is actually not. Sometimes it's customary praise, ritualistic praise. It's just something you do out of custom or habit. Sometimes it's empty praise or fake praise. In our culture, it's a type of praise that sometimes we use as a greeting, or, oh, hello, you look nice. You know, that was a nice lecture, just out of courtesy. That was a nice class. Whether you actually think that someone looks nice or not, you say it, right? Whether you think someone is a good speaker or not, you just say it. It's as though, you know, people think it's necessary, or, you know, it's just customary. The praise doesn't have value. That praise doesn't have value, because it's not genuine. The second kind of praise is evident in the way that sometimes kings or leaders get praised. Okay? It's honorific. It's sort of, you know, you're compelled to do it, whether you mean it or not. A third type of praise, and you might want some benefit from that praise. It's not, you know, really genuine, right? You're just praising this leader or this influencer, whoever it is. A third type of praise is the praise that is undeserved. The person hasn't worked towards it, nor do they deserve that praise. You might praise someone for having beautiful eyes. You've got gorgeous eyes, but that person has nothing that they did that contributed to deserving that praise. They didn't create their own eyes. They didn't give them the colour. They didn't have any right to even own those eyes. There's no real praise for that person, isn't it? Who is the real person? Who is the real one deserving of that praise? Who is the real deserver of
the praise for somebody's intelligence, for their knowledge, or for the wealth, or whatever. It's not them. They are not contributors to what makes them liable for praise. Hands is not like any of the previously mentioned praises. It is not fake praise. It is not praise for some sort of gain, nor it is undeserved praise. Hamd is for Allah, okay? It's genuine, it's real, it's deserved. The one being praised in the concept of Hamd is actually the deserving praise. It's not, Hamd is not fake praise, let's just put it like that, okay? The person, that the one who's being praised with Hamd has a right for that. There is no lie. There's no fakeness. And hamd is incomparable to praise. Do you understand? Does that make sense? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is deserving of praise unconditionally. Shukr or thanks is another word that we use to translate hamd, but shukr isn't enough. Okay, we thank someone when they have done something for us, but when we say alhamdulillah, we say thanks, we mean it unconditionally. So what we are saying is, Ya Allah, even if you hadn't given us anything ever, then Allah, you would be deserving of thanks. Even if you hadn't even created us, Ya Allah, you would still be worthy of thanks. Still worthy of hamd. Whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us anything or not, He's still deserving of hamd. Does that make sense? Shukr is a component of hamd, but it doesn't encompass hamd completely. So we need to reflect within ourselves. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us something we desire, we say alhamdulillah. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't give us what we want, do we say alhamdulillah? Oftentimes we don't. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worthy of hamd. Regardless, it is said that our hearts are such that they are designed to be overwhelmed by beauty. So when we see something that is beautiful and nice, such as a beautiful scenery, a gorgeous waterfall, or something nice, we automatically begin to pray. There is a beautiful court by Ibn Qayyim, and it is enough to realize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's beauty. When we know every internal and external beauty in this life and the next are created by Him. So what of the beauty of their Creator? SubhanAllah, we become amazed by the beauty of these things that we see. But what about their Creator? How beautiful must He be? So if the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made are so beautiful, how, imagine. Just imagine. Like, we cannot control ourselves, but we praise them. So imagine how uncontrollably praiseable Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be. Now, in our notes, what we want to do is, we want to write down al and hand as two separate words, if you like. Okay? So we would write down al, then a plus sign, and then the word hamd. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted, He could have said with hamd. Yeah? So He could have said hamdulillah. That would have made sense. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to have the article al. The meaning then becomes every type of true praise. When the article al proceeds here, it means every type of, all kinds of hamd, all of praise, all of thanks, ultimate, unconditional praise, belongs to Allah. Al changes the meaning significantly. It means all praise, all praise. Praise itself and all of it, thanks itself and all of it, belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when we praise someone's beauty or faith, the real praise is for who? It is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we see a beautifully or, you know, architecturally designed building or bridge or something, who gave that person that sense of art and intelligence? Who gave that person the faculties and the abilities to make that bridge? Allah. If someone is intelligent, who is the real deserving person of praise over that person's intelligence? Allah. And that continues on for everything. Pretty flowers, beautiful trees, glittering stars, the shining moon, all sorts of poetry, songs, praise. Everything goes towards Allah, doesn't it? Even if something is written praising flowers, who is the real praiseworthy one behind them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to understand this a little bit better, we have wal-asr. We know Surah Al-Asr, yeah? Wal-asr. In Surah Al-Asr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wal-asr. I swear by the time. So Al and is another place in the Quran, Al-Insan. So what does that mean? Al-Insan. All of humans, right? It encompasses all of humans. Okay? What else does Hamd include? It includes perfection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect in every attribute that He has. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm going to translate this. It is وصف المحمود بكمال محبة وتعظيم. So, it's difficult to translate this in English, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is praised with so much, like, basically, you have to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a lot of muhabba, with a lot of love, okay, and, like, a perfect love. SubhanAllah, it's very difficult to explain. Okay, the one who is being praised is perfect in every single way. Muhammad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa describes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the Khaliq, right, the creator, the most, but he is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most perfect creator, Ar-Raziq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the sustainer or the provider of sustenance, but he is the most perfect. When he does it, he does it with so much perfection. Sorry, not so much perfection. With perfection. Perfection itself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this way, we have to do it with a lot of love, a lot of intense love. So the point is, when we say this, when we say alhamdulillah to Allah, we say it with complete love. Okay, so right here, right at the start of the Quran, what do we start with? What a beautiful concept. We start with love. Right at the start, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us what He loves the most and how to worship Him in the best way. And that is by declaring His hamd. From now on, we're going to use the word hamd, isn't it? Because we know now that praise and thanks does not cover it. So we need to declare His hamd. Any person who devotes themselves to praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more beloved we become to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more He loves us, and the more we gain Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love, and the more our love for Him increases. This is why another name for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Al-Ahmad, okay? The one who does the most praise, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves him the most. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves all praise. So we are not able to give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala His due praise. Right? It's very important. We're not able to actually even do all the hamd because we don't know the being that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. We don't know about His wholeness. And we don't thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enough because we don't know the extent to how much He is worthy of our praise. We just don't know how perfect His attributes are. We cannot comprehend. Our intellect, our intelligence, our minds won't reach there. That is the problem. Okay, that is why we cannot praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the attributes that He deserves. This is why there's a story about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At the Hajj time, he used to make this beautiful dua, a heartwarming dua that we should all note down. Okay, Muhammad said, I cannot fully praise you, Ya Allah, for you are as you have praised yourself. This is how Muhammad used to say, La أحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. Okay, who is saying this? Muhammad, the one who is most blessed. He said, I cannot fully praise you, Ya Allah. لا أحصي ثناء. Okay, he just summarizes it, doesn't he? SubhanAllah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Kahf, if the oceans were ink for writing the words of my Lord, it would certainly run out before the words of my Lord were finished, even if we refilled it with its equal. And we also see in Surah Al-Luqman that whatever trees upon the earth, if all of them were pens, and if the sea was ink, replenished thereafter by seven more seas, the words of Allah would not be exhausted. Indeed, Allah is exalted in might and the wise. When, subhanAllah, so even if we had all the pens as trees and all the ink as seas, we would not, you know, pens would get worn out, and we would not be able to use the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to praise Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Things would run out, and we cannot praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enough subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we say Alhamdulillah not just in good, but also in when we find something disapproval in something. When Muhammad saw something he did not like, what would he say? Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. So most of us already know that when we like something, we say Alhamdulillah, right? But this is something our beloved Ustazah wants us to practice. The idea that when we find something we don't like, we also remember to say Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. When, you know, things are not going well, you know, when the car doesn't start, she asks us, what do we say? Do we say Alhamdulillah? Or is some inappropriate word that comes out of our mouth? Right? She says she does not want any of us to be using any inappropriate words from now on, and we need to practice Alhamdulillah so that we can utter, because when the angel of death will come, it will shock us. Okay, so if we are used to saying some inappropriate word, the S word, SH word, then that's what's going to come out in those last moments. And astaghfirullah wa a'udhu billah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. We do not need that. So we need to practice Alhamdulillah, inshaAllah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used this word, Alhamdulillah, all day long. Because for the mu'min, either something good is happening, or something bad is happening, something that we don't like is happening. We say Alhamdulillah for both of these things. When we will be saying, and if we do this, we will be saying Alhamdulillah all day long. Do you know what was the first word ever said? What was the first word uttered by Adam alayhi salam? First Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the mold of Adam alayhi salam, then he blew his soul into him, the ruh, and then when the ruh entered his nose, he sneezed. And the first words he said were Alhamdulillah. And this is from the fitrah. Fitrah is a natural disposition. We learn that we really should say Alhamdulillah after we sneeze, right? Because, and Quran says these words, Alhamdulillah, they start with these words, it's really important. A beautiful hadith in Tirmidhi. When a person's child dies, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the angels, you have taken the child of my slaves. Even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows better what they have done, they say yes. He says, you have taken the apple of his eye. They say yes. He says, what did my slave say? Even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, but he wants to hear it. This is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wants to hear it. What do the angels have to say? They say, he praised you. They made hands. And they said, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Verily, to Allah we belong, and to Him is our return. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now says, build for my slave a house in paradise, and call it the house of praise. Bayt al-hamd. Subhanallah. And if something awful happens, so anything, you know, I can't imagine anything worse than that to happen to us. May Allah protect all of us. But if awful things happen to us, this is what we should say. We make the hand of Allah and say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Did you know this concept before? Our Ustaz asked us, did you know this before? Did you know the reward for this before? SubhanAllah. Now, our Ustaz, I will, inshallah, end here because our time is up. Okay, remember our homework from our Ustaz. Inshallah, we will pass on what we have learnt. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring benefit to all of us from what we have learnt today. Please do not forget to join your group, your WhatsApp group, and your weekly classes, inshallah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.